So I fly a starship across the universe divide, and when I reach the other side, I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can. Perhaps I may become a highwayman again, or I may simply be a single drop of rain. But I will.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. Need to be in touch with the program. All you got to do is text us. Still to come, Dale Jackson, WVNN. That's in about an hour from now. And Emma Waters from the Heritage Foundation will talk IVF. And they have a policy paper out. Hey, it's kind of an interesting discussion to have. And it's more about what not to do or what state governments not ought to do than what they should be doing. But we'll get into that in a couple of hours. Joining us now, we do this every other Monday. Been a few weeks because I've been I've been out. But joining us now, State Representative Shane Stringer from Citronelle. Representative, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Congratulations.
Hey, you're very, very kind. I do appreciate that. Let's start here. Did you, another week, you guys, you had to make the trip up to Montgomery this week, but kind of talk about, you know, I know you guys, they call it spring break, but there's probably some constituent type things or so in-district kind of things that you have to handle while your time is away from Montgomery.
Yeah, there seems to always be something. You know, we had a little dedication at the Loman Power Plant up Leroy this past Friday, attended that, and speaking to the Senior Center in Sims, you know, just trying to update them on what's going on in the State House and, you know, just trying to keep everybody updated.
Well, no rest for the weary. I guess the big topic here is we're halfway, or we're a few days removed from the halfway point of this year's legislative session. How gambling, I think, and I know you voted against it last time around, how do you feel about the Senate bill, the Senate version? I mean, I don't know how much you've spent on it, time you spent on it, but it's certainly scaled down from what you guys in the House had done earlier.
Yeah, I had a chance to speak with Senator Albritton about it Friday and kind of go over it. You know, looks like it's a lot of changes to it. And, you know, so I don't know. I've not read the bill yet. Rumor is we'll be tackling it as we go back to session next week and see what's going on. I do know that, you know, Senator Albritton wasn't happy with it and don't like the current version of what was passed out of the Senate. So, you know, truthfully, the few I've spoke to, you know, without seeing the bill, really didn't know, but were no votes in the beginning, and we're kind of still leaning that way from what I'm understanding.
Well, what about you? Do you still feel like is the Senate bill something you could vote for? Where are you on it?
I would have to just read over it again and kind of see, you know, as the last bill came out, I was kind of on the fence with it. And then, you know, my phone started blowing up with constituents, you know, asking me to vote against it. And, you know, I try to listen to my district and to my constituents and try to represent my people. And they were just hardcore against it. So I guess it's going to, you know, we're going to have to read the bill and see that. And then I'm all, you know, I'll be listening out. And I'm sure there's constituents that are really paying close attention to it and reach out to me. So I'll just kind of weigh that and listen to them as it comes along.
Well, and it's interesting how this came to be. Kind of. It's interesting how this came to be, Representative, on the gambling bill, and you, like, you hear it from constituents, and they're very skeptical of the, I mean, like, how much does that matter? How much does that move? And, like, does it all sort of come in at once at the very end? Oh, walk us through that.
No, people are, you know, they're paying attention. You know, it's maybe not as many people as we would want or we would think, but there's a lot of people that's paying attention to the legislation and actually taking time to read in these bills as they come up. And, you know, because I had some people that were wanting me to support and vote for the gaming that once they read the bill, they didn't like it. And, you know, it changed their mind and was really pushing hard for me not to support it. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, we do have some constituents that take time to read the bills and look into them and take time to reach out to their representatives and senators and kind of give them their opinion of what they would like to see done. And, you know, with that last bill, of course, all of the churches in my district, they really, you know, really took time to call and speak against it and just express their opposition. So, you know, it was a tough decision or whatever, but, you know, it was once your constituents ask you and tell you what they want, you need to speak up for them in Montgomery.
Well, here's another question for you. When you talk about, I mean, there's obviously the speaker and leadership made this a priority. I don't get to, and I don't know if you've had a chance, did they even give you any indication of where they are on the Senate bill? Or do you think that it's going to be one of these situations? Well, the volley, it's our turn with the volley. We're going to take a look at it, do our own analysis, and then come up with something to see if the Senate would accept another version of the bill. I mean, like, what do you think is going to happen? Have they given you any idea about where that's going?
No, I've not really spoken to any of the leadership about what the Senate has passed out. You know, if I had to bet, I would think that they're going to probably go, you know, vote to go to conference committee and attempt to get some of the stuff that they wanted into the piece of legislation back in. So that's what I would, you know, I would think is going to happen. But, you know, who knows? They may have some kind of compromise worked out and be willing to concur with the Senate changes.
No rest for the smoke-filled back rooms, it sounds like. We'll move on to some other things here. Yeah, and so far it's been kind of a your take on the session. I mean, it's, and I talked to other members, some that I had on last week. My feeling is like you got a lot of like heavy lifts or a lot of controversial bills kind of done early, and historically, you get those come at the near the end, like after the budgets are passed and the BIR is no longer sort of a hurdle that you guys have to overcome. What is the second half, or what's led to the second half, I guess, even look like? Are there some pitfalls ahead? What do you think is going to happen as May approaches?
I think you're going to see a very tense session throughout the remainder. You know, I think there's going to be some other contentious bills that are come up. And, you know, I think that it's definitely been a different approach under Speaker Ledbetter's command, you know, just how he's handled things and done some of this. But I think you're going to see a very, you know, a very contentious session throughout with some of the other legislation that we're looking at and that's coming up. But it's definitely been a little different and very, very challenging.
Well, you know, it's the real, like, I guess, bills you would expect a lot of Democrat opposition from. School choice sticks out of my head. The ballot harvesting, things that could really tie up a session, divisive concepts, are already done.
Yep.
So
yeah, that was some hot topics that were left remaining from last session, I think. And so, you know, we had already been through a lot of debates and talks and discussions and just about everything. We had worked those bills pretty much all the way through outside of passing them last session. So I think it made it a little easier to address those in the beginning of the session and tackle that. So I think you're, you know, I still think we got an action-packed session left, and we'll probably take it all the way to the wire.
Hey, last question on the gambling, and how important is it to you? I mean, now that you guys are in the second congressional district, how important is it that that election not be the for gambling on the constitutional amendment, not be on the November ballot to you?
I've heard the argument both ways. Personally, I just don't know if it would affect it or not, but there's enough people that think that it would to request that it be on a special ballot by itself. I think they said in September. So, you know, either way, you know, I if there is a chance that it would affect turnout or influence any of the elections over, you know, the gaming legislation, then I would absolutely want to see it held at a different time.
Joined by State Representative Shane Stringer here on the program. Representative, a couple of bills you got looking at, a couple of gun bills. You become a kind of the constitutional Second Amendment guy, but what you got on the docket?
Well, you know, just looking at some of the stuff that the federal government's done lately and trying to implement, you know, some of the red flag laws and some stuff that I think's going to open the door to take basically law-abiding gun owners guns away from them. So I've got a Second Amendment Preservation Act I'm gonna be dropping next week, and I dropped it last year or year before last. It didn't get anywhere, but hoping that we can get something done with that. And basically it just says that that state law enforcement and local law enforcement in Alabama does not have to enforce federal laws if they don't choose to. That way they can't be compelled to force enforce federal laws if we deem them to be unconstitutional or unethical. The other is a bill that's going to make it illegal for credit card companies to track ammunition purchases and firearm purchases. Absolutely no reason whatsoever for a private, you know, industry, a credit card industry, to be tracking citizens' ammunition and gun purchases and basically violating their Second Amendment rights. So I'm going to be dropping those next week, and hopefully we can fast track them and get them through and get them through the Senate. So be working hard on that.
Well, talk about the credit card tracking. Like, what kind of penalties or what do you think is appropriate? So, I mean, I suspect there's this going on, but let's say the state of Alabama gets wind of this, that MasterCard or American Express or Visa or whoever are compiling this data, what happens then?
It would be investigated through the Attorney General's office. Basically, Mississippi, the state of Mississippi, passed this legislation. A lot of states across the country are passing this exact legislation right now. But Mississippi passed it 2 years ago, and we are kind of mimicking the bill that they have and tweaking on it a little bit. That's what's kind of delayed it. Would hope to have had it dropped sooner, but we've really been working hard, working with the NRA, trying to get it worded right and hope to get it put out soon. But it would include some sanctions and penalties against the credit card companies for that kind of behavior. You know, it's already going on, and we all know why they're doing it. They're not doing it for their own benefit. So absolutely no excuse or no reason for them to be, the credit card companies, to be doing this. So hopefully we can address it, and enough states pass it, we can, you know, handle it on a state level.
Well, and you mentioned that it's going on. I mean, you know, I guess it's like the wokeification of corporate America. At least they want to make that their facade for whatever reason. But like we've seen this before, and well, it's going on. I guess it's not just you are proposing a solution to a problem that doesn't exist.
No, it's absolutely a problem already, and You know, we've seen it with the DEI programs that a lot of the industry across the country has adopted over the last 5 years. And, you know, it's got to be addressed, and let's do things, do the right things for the right reasons. And that is absolutely not being done at this time.
Well, that's one to watch. And I assume, like, I haven't heard much about this being a problem, but it just seems like it could be. And we've seen it with some of these, not just the credit card companies, but the gun retailers, right? Like that they, some of the gun retailers just decided they were going to get out of the gun business, and maybe they have their ethical or moral or whatever reasons, but it's also this, representative, like, you have all these burdens now where the government is leaning on you to compile data and track all this. It's just not worth it to them.
No, and that's what we've seen. They're putting more red tape and more duties on the industry itself. And like you said, they're accomplishing what they're trying to do, and that's to limit guns, limit ammunition, and limit people's Second Amendment. You know, we've seen, I guess, issues with our First Amendment rights over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, dealing with social media and censorship and everything related to that. And it's just, it's been a battle like I've never seen before, you know, in against our Constitution. And we have got to have good statesmen across the country that's going to stand up on state levels to address this.
Representative, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but thanks for coming on, talking to us about these gun bills and making people aware about them. And we'll talk again soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
State Representative Shane Stringer there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Somehow on and on.